Standing up for what's right on the Michelangelo Signorelli Show.
Welcome back. I'm Mike Rogers. I'm sitting in for Michelangelo Signorelli on the Michelangelo Signorelli Show. Hey, I hope you take a visit to my site, rawstory.com. Make sure you check out the latest news from Raw Story, where our team works hard all day long to bring you undercovered and stories, try to bring things to light that you may not know about. And of course, be sure to follow Mike at msignorelli. That's M-S-I-G-N-O-R-I-L-E. Today's a really significant day, and I don't think people realize, or they certainly didn't, because I just learned it the other day, that today is the 50th anniversary of the first March on Washington, which was a picket sign in front of the White House, where people stood up for the very first time in their lives and said, you know, enough, we want equality, or stood up for the first time in their lives in front of a place like the White House. And to talk about that 50th anniversary, I would like to bring on Charles Francis. Charles is a community leader, a leader in business, has been involved with the community both in Washington and nationally for many years. And he's founder and head of the new organization, the New Mattachine Society, where he does an amazing job on Facebook. So make sure you search for them on Facebook, of posting history, posting lost documents, letting people know that it just wasn't a bunch of people who said, I want to get married. It goes back. It was just a bunch of people who wanted to be who they were. So in honor of the 50th anniversary of this march, I would like to bring on Charles and welcome you to the show. Welcome, Charles.
Thank you, Mike. I'm glad to be here. It's a big day for the New Mattachine Society of Washington.
And for me, what, you know, for someone like me, as I was talking earlier in the show, I was born in 63. Look at that. I'm making myself older than I am. But I was born in 1963 when they were giving gay men lobotomies. And today, of course, we know that we've come, you know, in so far, but we have so much left to do. And one of the things that you and I have talked about is the best way to move forward sometimes is to make sure we have an accurate recording of the past. And I'm wondering about some of that work that you've been doing around this.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's the importance of the past to where we are today and knowing where we're headed. When the Mattachine Society of Washington organized this first picketing in front of the White House, it was a very radical idea for gay men and women to carry pickets and be open and be recognizable, and their faces are there and their names are there, and they are calling for full equal American citizenship for homosexuals on that sidewalk in front of the White House. And I say radical because in 1965, number one, you were banned from working for the federal government. You could not be a letter carrier, you could not be an advisor to the president, nothing, or you would be terminated. Number two, you were declared mentally insane, and the government was a part of that declaration of mental insanity by the American Psychiatric Association. And number three, you were suspected of treason and being blackmailable and treasonous. You were a security risk. So you're banned, you're damned, you're mentally ill, you're fired, you're done. And these people, led by Frank Kameny, Dr. Franklin E. Kameny, like you said, Mike, said enough is enough. And the night before, they got their picket sticks out, and they got some poster boards, and they got some stick-on lettering, and they put together a dozen picket signs, and off they went. And they put it on the line, and I just say they walked into history. They walked into American history doing what they did.
I'm going to cut to a clip, and then I'd like to hear your thoughts about it afterward. It's Frank speaking about the early history of LGBT activism and the movement and the problems with it, and then I'd like to hear your reaction to it. It's under a minute, so let's go to clip four.
There was a very, very, very tiny gay movement in those days, five or six organizations in the entire country. And I don't want to be critical of them. And once again, as I've said repeatedly, there was a very different era culturally. but they didn't kind of suit my own personality. They weren't sufficiently activist. They were giving too much credence to so-called experts, not realizing that on these subjects, gay people and homosexuality, we were the authorities and not the people that they went to, and so on. And they were too apologetic. So I founded the gay movement here in Washington. And in retrospect, that turned out to be the initiation of gay activism and militancy nationally.
I'd like to hear your initial reactions to that and why you say and why you wrote recently that it's okay that today isn't being a huge celebration. And Frank talked about the past. And what brings us to this point today with you and your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, it's really wonderful to hear Frank's voice again, you know, talking about what he did. He is the Martin Luther King of the gay civil rights movement. There's no question. This was 4 or 5 years before Stonewall. And he's right. And he later said the picketing was the end of Uncle Tomism in the gay movement, because up until then there had been a lot of debate, as he said, about, you know, staying in the closet or being low-key or working through third parties. Frank is right, and that's what this picketing was all about. But the importance of understanding what happened is rescuing the past, because so much of this has been swept under the rug, erased, deleted. For instance, when Frank and the brave men and women, Barbara Giddings and others, are picketing inside the White House, it's LBJ and his chief of staff, Bill Moyers, that Bill Moyers, and a guy named John Macy, who enforced the ban on homosexuals. They're there. Our team is on the streets. Well, today, all of those papers are still sealed in boxes in the LBJ Presidential Library in Austin, Texas. And we're trying to get those boxes open. After 50 years, it's high time that those papers be made public. John Macy said the reason gays cannot work for the federal government is because of the revulsion. This is the actual word he used, the revulsion that gay people cause their straight colleagues working alongside known deviants.
So kind of sounds like the religious nuts of today who want to pass laws to say, I don't want them stepping into my store. They bother me.
Yeah, exactly. It's a smackdown. And that's why we need to see these papers so you can see what happened in the past and use it in the present. We need to show these documents to legislatures, the legal community, judges, the media, and others to go, this discrimination was rooted in one thing, animus, bigotry, and homophobia. And once everyone agrees that that's what was happening for the past 60 years, then we can correct some of these laws that are just unconstitutional.
So, you know, reaching back and looking at that history and how much of it is hidden, you and I specifically talked about how many papers, you know, virtually, I think the number I read was 45 to 50 feet long. I mean, that's the average length of a house. You know, a high ranch is 50 feet long of these papers of his that are just sitting there. No one's touching them. And you, do you think that they want to hide this part of history and that they never think it'll ever be released, the truth about us?
Well, I think that until recently, gay political history was considered sort of obscure queer studies 101, academia, already well-known, just swept under the rug. And, of course, that's an outrage. And so the presidential libraries, they have a problem too, because the word gay did not even exist in the Eisenhower years. The word was pervert or deviant. So when we're looking for documents in the Johnson administration, this stuff can be sealed, it can be mislabeled, and it can be just an embarrassment to them who lived through it. You know, I know that Linda Byrd and Lucy Johnson said something recently about the LBJ years and gays, but the story has not been told. And I would really welcome to hear from Bill Moyers on these papers in the LBJ Library and why we can't see them.
You know, it's really interesting. I think that it's almost a case of the cover-up is worse than the crime. Because, listen, you know, I don't know a lot of activists today who are saying we should go back and, you know, conduct trials in absentia and find these people guilty of crimes. Basically, what we're looking for is just the truth, just so we can see it. And it's really akin to when you see families, my family, I was raised Jewish, looking for records of their family who escaped the Holocaust or died in the Holocaust. It's really those similar kind of histories. People are so starved for our own histories that they're basically hiding from us who we are and how we evolved as a community.
Yeah, the word is, you know, the eraser or the delete button.
Right.
History must not ever be erased. And one model I have, and of course the situation in South Africa was far more grave, but they had truth and reconciliation commissions. There was a truth and reconciliation commission in Canada. There have been many of them. And what these are is these are not set up to punish people. They are set up to just simply recognize the facts of what happened. It's called just flat-out recognition and reconciliation.
I could never imagine our government in the current state that it's in, the folks who control and, you know, just the conservative nature of not wanting to confront the reality. That's what I say. We're talking... this afternoon with Charles Francis, who is the founder of the New Mattachine Society, and more important, a great figure in Washington for helping to continue the legacy and to educate a whole new generation of folks in terms of, you know, LGBT freedom, equality in the movement. One of the things that struck me, I saw a display once of the Mattachine Society original bylaws. And if you read the purposes for which Mattachine was formed, I think three of them out of the four, we still don't have full equality. We still have to keep fighting and still have to keep pressing, no question.
Well, exactly right. And the Mattachine Society was not rooted in any radical ideology. It was rooted in the words of the Declaration of Independence and the ideas of Thomas Jefferson, that all men and women are created equal, and that's what Frank Kameny was preaching on the sidewalk that day, the words of Jefferson.
And certainly someone who turned to so many of those folks for inspiration, and that's what I think I remember talking to Frank at the signing of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal, when he basically said, look, this is just another step. Like he never sat back and said, you know, I'm done, my work is done. He knew that it would have to keep going. And he also would talk about folks that he worked with. And I'd like to play a clip of one of those. And kind of in wrapping, we're going to listen to Barbara Giddings, who, of course, you know, and her history, being interviewed in 1983. And back then she's asked by Vito Russo about how the movement has progressed since the 50s. And then when we come back from that, I'd like to hear from you about where you think we're actually headed. So let's go to clip five.
I mean, has anything shocked you about what's happened? And do you think we've gone in a good direction? Are you pleased about some things and angry about some things? I'd like you both to answer this.
Well, I wouldn't say I've been shocked by some of the developments in the movement. I'd rather say I'm pleasantly surprised by some of the things that have come along. For example, I would never have dreamed in 1958, when I joined the movement, that we could get the Psychiatric Association to turn around and take us off the list of mental disorders. I wouldn't have dreamed it possible for us to have groups of parents and friends of gays, people who are not even gay, but who have a stake in our happiness, coming forward and talking to the public and making a bridge of communication. And I wouldn't have dreamed it possible to have the gay choruses and the gay marching bands, which I think are just wonderful. I think they're terrific. Things like that I would not have dreamed of.
We have just about a minute left. Where do you see the next 50 years going?
Well, short term, we're expecting some blowback, some backlash on the same-sex marriage case. Long term, we see tremendous strength in the millennial generation, where we have won the argument using the First Amendment and coming out and convincing young people that we're part of the American liberty expansion and dream.
Well, what a better way to end the hour than to thank you, Charles Francis, for coming on, for talking about the New Mattachine Society and the history of our movement, that today we're celebrating 50 years since that first historic march on Washington. So thank you so much, Charles, for coming on the show.
Thank you.
I'm Mike Rogers, sitting in for Michelangelo Signorelli on the Michelangelo Signorelli Show on Sirius XM Progress 127.
Michelangelo Signorelli on Sirius XM.